okay, we are finishing our MBA in 2 months or so, and we'll stop learning. How do you gain new knowledge? How do you keep yourself like inspired? And so with that, okay, we should start listening to podcasts. Podcast is not that big in Israel.
Has it been your dream to become an engineer, to switch from the job that you're working right now, be taken seriously, get a full-time salary, and be coding? Then go to hackreactor.com, the trusted resource to become a credible engineer. That's hackreactor.com/scholarships if you want to check out more on how to become an engineer at no cost at all. Remember to enter in the code Women in Tech. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to patreon.com/womenintech. That's patreon.com/womenintech to make a small contribution to keep this podcast going. Thank you. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am here with some extraordinary women in tech who were introduced to me by a really close friend of mine. And they are absolutely nervous to be on the podcast because I have not prepped them whatsoever. They are going in blind and they think I'm crazy, which is totally fine because I am a little bit crazy. But I know I assured them, and I think you guys will agree, that by the end of our conversation, they will feel completely comfortable and they will feel just so great that they were able to inspire all of you. So the theme on today's episode is, one, it's going to be the Israeli tech scene for women in tech, but mostly these girls are building a company. We can't talk about it much. It's a nameless company right now, but it's in the podcasting space. So they want to kind of guest host me and ask me questions about what it is to be a podcaster. She's giving me a thumbs up and I knew what I was doing all along. So what we're going to do is first we're going to walk you through a little bit on their background and why they are women in tech. We're going to take you through the Israeli women in tech scene. And then we're going to talk a bit about what like made them passionate about podcasting, why they want to build a podcasting company in this industry. And then they're going to ask me anything that they want to ask. And I'm not prepared at all. But I am ready and willing to answer anything. So let's get started. First, let's go ahead and introduce yourselves to everyone listening so they get an idea of who you girls are.
So my name is Adi from Israel. I'm working with Liron on a project in the podcast area. Liron will present herself soon, but we know each other for almost 8 years. We did our first degree together also in Hebrew University in Jerusalem. We studied nothing to do as tech at all. We studied philosophy, political science, and economics, which was very interesting and very, mind-opening, a lot of different areas. And now we're doing our MBA together in Tel Aviv University. And we're here on a program from the MBA.
You're here in Los Angeles.
Here in Los Angeles with a program from the MBA, which is about entrepreneurship. We're getting to know the California ecosystem. We went to Freedom in San Francisco, now we're in LA.
Amazing.
And we're here.
Before I move ahead, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself as well?
So I'm Liron. As Adi mentioned, we know each other for many years. We're a very close friend. We actually used to live together in Jerusalem. I have a marketing experience till today. So I will add to Adi that the program that we're here from, actually, we are here six women. It's completely not planned that everyone here is are women and not men.
Oh,
no,
cool.
No men at all. Yeah.
I like that it wasn't exclusive, though. It just
last year.
And what is the program?
So it's called Ideas Immersion.
Yeah, by David.
Yeah. By David.
Love
exactly.
David.
Yeah. And last year, the program actually, they had 10 men. Only men.
Again, accidental.
Totally accidental.
Yeah. So it's very interesting how it happened.
Like, you know what's really, David's last name is Dorfman, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So I emceed one of the ideas forums a couple years ago. I think my friend that introduced us, Corey, may have mentioned it to me, but I totally spaced on that we have that connection in common. And I love that you brought him up because he's so supportive of women in tech. And so I would love for you to talk a little bit about David and the Ideas Forum and what that means. For you guys to have an idea, you know, I run We Are LA Tech and I have the We Are LA Tech podcast as well. And I was going through a really, really tough emotional journey with it. I think it was in the end of 2015, if I remember correctly. And I had a coffee with David. He was like, let me just support you. Let's have a conversation. And I just broke down. I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, you know, I at the time, what my challenge was is that I'd been running We Are LA Tech for a few years, and I set out this email for contributors, and I didn't get the response that I needed to sustain the whole thing. And I also had this kind of experimental program on doing offline experiences with people in the LA tech scene. And so David was asking me about it. And then he said, and I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make this happen. I wanted to deliver so much value to the community, but except, you know, I was just in this struggle. And he goes, wait, your customers are telling you what they want. I'm like, what customers? And he's like, your Experience Club members, they're your customers. And at that time, like, it was really about community work in my mind. Maybe I didn't feel that I was worthy enough to be a business owner again or something like that. I had some sort of block, but he said, no, your Experience Club members are your customers, and that's where you should shift your focus for 2016. And then I did. And it was incredible advice. And I think it was a pivotal decision in the growth of like what I'm doing today. So please share more about David and about Ideas for Him and the work that he does and how he's supportive of other female entrepreneurs and women in tech.
So I think David runs the, like, there's a Friends of Tel Aviv University organization, and he like runs the West Coast. And he and Corey built this program that's like 3 weeks in LA and a few days in San Francisco, all about like entrepreneurship, really doing it from ground to bottom about everything from like understanding who your customer is, your user, your, if you have multiple users, doing UX, product, business sites, like everything, a lot of different aspects of like how it is like to really build a startup. We meet so many people, and they really put a lot of effort for us to meet various kind of people, like top notches in their fields, which was very, very inspiring. We got to ask like to really, you know, really try out things and like really experience expressing ourselves and our ideas in a very safe environment, mm-hmm. which we think is very important and very valuable for us.
Super.
Yeah. So that was, and got all the time, got really good feedback. Sometimes contradicting feedback, which is also part of the game. So I think all of us, I mean, the six of us really went through, and I mean, it's our last day. Like tomorrow is demo day.
And how long is the whole thing?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Yeah. So you've been in Los Angeles for 3 weeks?
Or we've been like 2 weeks in Los Angeles. Yeah, 2.5 weeks in Los Angeles and 3 days in San Francisco.
So tell me a little bit more. So you apply for Ideas for Him, and now you've been in California for about 3 weeks. And by the way, if you guys want to check out Ideas for Him later, Carl, our amazing teammate, will be sure to include in the show notes. We'll also include David Dorfman's information and Corey J's information, so you could like cyberstalk them on Twitter or the social medias, wherever you want to go. And this is all in pursuit of building a company within the podcasting industry, right?
Yeah. So we actually participated in a pre-accelerator course in university.
Back in Tel Aviv.
Yeah. We always knew that there will be a program in LA, and if we want, we can apply. But so it was also an amazing experience. Many like design thinking workshop,
right,
and just perfecting the concept.
Right. And Ideas for Him is pretty much a connector between what's going on in Israel and what's going on in the U.S., correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And Ideas for Him, as far as I know, is based in Los Angeles. Or is it based in both?
Yeah.
It's based
in
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I think there will be also a program in Chicago. Few weeks.
Cool.
Yeah, in few weeks.
Awesome.
So we just started to think, like, what do we like to do? And Adi and I know each other for many years, and we think alike. And we just came up like, okay, we are finishing our MBA in 2 months or so, and we'll stop learning. Like, it's the end. No,
well,
like,
I mean, we can always learn in life.
Yeah, but like, how? How do you learn new things? How do you gain new knowledge? How do you keep yourself like inspired? And so we thought, okay, we should start listening to podcasts. Podcast is not that big in Israel, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it's just starting.
Totally.
And
does it have momentum there like it does here?
Yeah. It really has momentum. And very interesting people started to create like their own podcast.
Incredible.
Yeah. And we just started like as friends to talk about podcasts and to share reviews and like, so that's how the whole idea began. We just wanted to continue learning and being like the best version of ourselves
right.
through podcast.
Yeah.
And we thought, okay, it's like, it's pretty hard to do it. To start listening to podcasts, it's a hard process.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, because really we only have, and I am so grateful for our partnership with Apple, but we only have Apple as the primary, as it's like the dominant space of, there's no other way to have clean fluid discoverability, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
so,
and there's so like there's so many out there. Like,
yeah.
How do you start even like to choose if I choose any subject that I totally. Want to listen to?
I agree. Yeah.
It's very
hard. I usually rely. Do you guys know Gimlet Media? Yeah. I usually rely on like Gimlet Media. I'm like, pretty much anything Gimlet produces will be great. So yeah.
That's a good way actually. So we are now like in the peak of our empathy process, just talking to heavy podcast listeners and podcast creators to understand, to better understand their needs.
Right.
And that's what actually we wanted to talk to you about.
All right. And now the interview begins.
Like, yeah. We heard that you are, honestly, like we heard great stuff about you and you also read. And
except the part that I wouldn't prep you at all and I just made you go on air immediately after like 3 minutes of meeting you.
Yeah, but that's probably why you have interesting podcasts, because you take people and put them out of their comfort zone. So that's good.
I'll roll with it. So I'm ready. What questions do you have for me?
So like a very basic question. How do you get to know your listeners? What do you know about them?
Yeah. So I've had three shows. I've had Hello Customer, which focused on large brands like Zappos and Levi's and how they delivered extraordinary customer experience. Then I have We Are LA Tech, which spotlights LA tech companies and the resources and LA startups. And then Women in Tech, of course, that features women in tech around the world, accelerating in technology. And the concept behind We Are LA Tech is just to get to know your city. And the concept behind Women in Tech is, if she can do it, so can I. And I call it actionable empowerment. And because I believe that we can only accomplish what we believe is possible, even if it's like enormous. I think that the or small, the first step to even make that become a reality is believing that it can become a reality. And I felt that there was missing a positive consistency of content in the women in tech space. And for example, I've never identified as a woman in tech. I identify as just an entrepreneur. And so when I would go to women in tech stuff, it's always about negativity or what challenges there are for me or what blocks I have. And I was just like, that's weird. Like, I started my companies when I was a teenager, and I just felt like if I charged ahead, I'd figure it out. And so I wanted to create examples of people that just are examples of figuring it out. And so other people could be inspired and also discover resources that way. So the way I think the question was like, how do I get to know my audience? In a lot of ways, I am my audience. So it's what would I like myself? When I edited my own shows for a really long time. And so if I found something boring, I felt like somebody else would find it boring. If like there was a huge lapse in space, then I'd edit that to make sure, because I understand my archetype. And I've been in the tech community pretty much my whole life. My dad was an early adopter. And so I got into technology at a really young age. And so I think it all starts with my own personal passion, and then I'll do a lot of engagement with the community. Like, I'll have a private episode, especially in the beginning, and I would send it to a group of friends. I'd be like, okay, what do you think needs to be changed? What works? Or let's say I change the formatting. I'm like, do you guys like this? Constantly asking how I can improve. I'm constantly looking for feedback, and it never needs to be all positive feedback. I just want any feedback. Anyone that takes the time to write me or, you know, talk to me about like what their experiences with what I'm producing is valuable. And even if it feels like, oh my God, they didn't like something as much, like that's really powerful because they took the time to share it with me. And one, that takes courage, to be honest, and also just time. And we don't have a lot of time when we're building companies. So asking my community, knowing myself, and engaging with my community. So yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
And how do you increase like your audience, like reach new audiences?
Sure. I mean, so my why in doing it is because I really believe in what I'm doing. I currently only produce and host We Are LA Tech and Women in Tech. And so my why in Women in Tech is so powerful. I just think this is so important. Plus, it's really exciting to travel around the world meeting these women in tech around the world. I have a strong affinity for getting to understand different startup ecosystems. I was part of the LA Tech ecosystem before it existed. I mean, there was one in the 90s that I'm not aware of, and then it died out. And now I'm part of like there were 20 of us in LA Tech in, I think it was like 2004 or five, like around MySpace, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I was doing, and none of us really knew what we were doing. And we essentially planted the seeds of what today is, I think it's like the top three startup city. We're actually swapping out with you guys all the time. It's always like Tel Aviv or Los Angeles. And then in front of us is Silicon Valley, San Francisco. And behind us is New York. You know, we're always like fighting for one of the top spots. But and then my why for We Are LA Tech is that that I really want to be able to give people a voice, let people be heard. When I became an entrepreneur, I believed with all my heart. I created a sports company. It was my second company. I believed with all my heart and soul and money and spirit that it was going to become what I wanted it to become. And it didn't. And I didn't have the right people around me to help support me in achieving that dream. But I wasn't aware that all I needed to do was believe in myself, and I would have achieved so much more. And so that led me to moderating several business panels over the years and giving talks. And the reason why I'm so passionate about that, most people give talks for credibility or sell books. I give talks because I picture the 18-year-old version of myself in the audience, and I want to give her every single last opportunity and support to make sure she succeeds. And so I thought, how amazing would it be if I could take that kind of energy and spirit outside of just, you know, an event space and broadcast it to the world. And so us being on air right now, we don't just get to like benefit one another's lives. We're benefiting thousands of people's lives that are listening. And that's just magical to me. And so having a really strong why, my focus is on my why. And that's why even I don't look at numbers. I don't look at metrics. I know the shows do well because like it was the marquee on Apple, you know, and stuff like that. But I don't really look at that stuff because I don't want to stay focused on like what episode brought in the most viewership. I want to stay focused. How, like, am I impacting people positively consistently? Because maybe one episode had a few thousand listeners and another episode had tens of thousands of listeners. It doesn't matter. The few thousand, what if only one person in there was impacted in a positive way? That's why I'm doing this. Like, I don't need all like tens of thousands. I just care about that I'm doing something positive in the world. And so I don't really put a lot of focus on marketing, but I think one thing that I found really interesting about marketing is I definitely share my journey. I share my story. I push myself to be really vulnerable. And I notice that that creates an emotional connection with my audience or my potential audience. So I think even though it's not done from a strategic place, I do think it happens to be good marketing that I just naturally like to share my entire journey, even the parts I'm embarrassed about, because then people just discover it and they feel that authentic energy. That word authentic is getting so played out, but you get what I mean. Like, they feel that energy and they want to be a part of like what I'm working on. I mean, today I just hired someone. I actually have to tell our buddy Corey about it. I'm very excited. But today I hired someone to like help me run events, and I was talking to her and she's able to like work with me within my budget and she's awesome and all this stuff. But like, you know, I was sharing with her like, look, this is in very startup mode, et cetera. And one thing she said on the phone, and I was like really blown away, because usually you equate success to like an IPO or making millions of dollars or whatever it is. She goes, wow, you and your company are so powerful. And it had nothing to do with numbers or money. It had to do with my vision and my why and my commitment to people. Like, it was so fascinating to me that she used the words like my company and I are so powerful, when she was placing that word powerful in alignment with things that in the tech industry we don't usually give as much value to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So that's my marketing, is like I just share my story. And I think great marketing, it's random, is being consistent. When I first created the We Are LA Tech podcast, it hit number two in the country, a new noteworthy within a month, which was so exciting. But I was doing so many things, I couldn't keep up. I was editing the whole show myself. It would take me like 40 hours to edit an episode. So my weekly podcast was coming out like barely once a month. And I really like was frustrated by that. And I had to learn about delegating and hire an editor to help. And I used a site at the time called Fiverr to have someone help me. And, you know, I got really lucky. I actually still work with that person today. Like, it's awesome. And not for $5 anymore. He's worth way more than that. you know, like having the consistency was really key. So I was doing poor marketing by not coming out regularly. And now that it comes out regularly, it's very, it's great marketing. And then every single person that we interview, we make sure they know about it. Now, I'm one of those people that I've received messages where people are like, here you go, now share it with your audience. Like, screw you, don't tell me what to do. Like, I don't need anybody to do something they don't feel inclined to do. I just want them to know it exists and they can do whatever they want with it. So in that way, I guess I'm a poor marketer or something. I don't think you should be like dictating how people should spend their time or what they should share or not share. But yeah, I send it to everybody. And I don't know, I really just do my best. This is gonna sound so hokey. I do my best to bring the most value to as many people as possible. And I just have utter faith that that is the best marketing that you could possibly do.
Do you find that, like, you know, you're talking with a lot of women in tech,
yeah,
that women are more like inclined and having that like passion and vision and commitment over, you know, over like KPIs and numbers?
That's a great question. A lot of people are different. I think they have a harmonious balance between the two. There's a particular CEO I interviewed in Barcelona. She works with a job site and she just like blew my mind, her compassion for people. I was like, how are you a CEO of this like bazillion-dollar company? You're so nice. Like, you know, and she was like, well, I ask my team if they're happy and I check in with them and stuff like that. But she's as hippie-like and connective as she is, she's the CEO of like a gazillion-dollar company. So it's, like, I think there's some sort of like happy balance between the two. I think women are naturally more empathetic. And I think being empathetic probably helps with negotiations and with communication and with creating camaraderie or inspiring a team. However, I also seen statistically that possibly women don't ask for what they want, or we have like value issue. I know I have value issues that I'm working on, you know, and so that could come in conflict with the empathetic side, because it's like, yeah, you could connect, you know, on a deeper level, but then you're not asking for what you want because you're nervous you're not worth it or something. And so there's a study done where like if a man and a woman are both offered a job as a pilot and neither one are prepared, the guy will just say yes and the girl will be like, need to like figure out how to do it first before she can say yes. And it's a core difference in like how, you know, as far as like how we generically function as a sex versus sex or whatever. Yeah. This is fun.
You're a very good
podcaster.
No, like the opposite role. Like
Guest.
Yeah, guest. We're not sure that we're doing your role that good, but
I know that you guys tell me they, for whatever reason, do not have Twitter handles. I don't. You're
so
saying
in Israel, yeah, it's not
it's
that
not popular,
big. Yeah,
yeah.
Mostly like for politics, they use it.
Yeah,
and journal, like yeah,
yeah, journalism,
yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff like that.
But I mean, we would all love, and it's a collective we. If you have feedback, so definitely tweet at Women in Tech Show or at Esprit Devora, and sure, we would love your feedback if you're getting a lot of value from this. I particularly think it's great. Yeah, on an instinct.
Yeah,
we have that intuition thing going on too.
Yeah,
so it's so cool. Corey just stepped in as we're recording, and since Corey is very much a part, as you heard, we've been mentioning his name a bunch. In putting together this Ideas Forum along with David Dorfman, I wanted to ask Corey to kind of like grace us with his vocal presence for a moment, just to tell us a little bit more in his own words, what is the IDEAS Forum Immersion Program? Corey, take it away.
So the IDEAS Immersion Program was born out of a conference, with the IDEAS Conference that David put together in Los Angeles. And it wants to champion technology from around the world, and specifically from Tel Aviv and Israel. So David runs the west side of operations of the American Friends of Tel Aviv University. And so they put together a fund as well as this program to help students coming out of Tel Aviv University, which is are extremely accomplished in terms of setting up entrepreneurs to be who come out of there and are extremely successful, and bringing them over to the States, exposing them to programs to be able to learn more. So this program that we put together is a 3-week intensive where the students or the entrepreneurs who come across meet with a series of experts in different fields, everything from legal to business to product to finance to technology, and they get to experience a highly immersive program, which ends and culminates in them pitching to a bunch of very, very good investors.
Awesome. And how can we find out more?
You can go to ideasimmersion.com.
Perfect. Thank you. So now I'm going to get back to my conversation with the girls. Before we kind of wrap it up, I want to make sure we discuss a little bit more. What is the women in tech space like in Tel Aviv? What's the tech community in Tel Aviv like in general?
First of all, it's amazing.
And huge.
Yeah, huge. Like things happen like all the time, 24/7. We both worked in the startup scene.
Yeah.
And you need to remember that Israeli women and men start like their career a bit later because they go to the army. Women go for 2 years and men for 3 years. And they actually went for longer. So I think that the experience that we gain that during that time is really meaningful in sense of like building your own company, leading a team.
Yeah.
You get this experience like really early on. Mm-hmm. And only after that you go to college or sometimes you don't go to college because right. you actually already have the experience to start coding.
Right.
So it's
where did
different.
You learn the coding?
So we are not coding.
No. The community, where would they learn the coding?
And so as Leon said, the army is I think it has a lot of effect on the tech community in Israel. There's a lot of really elite technological units. So people are 18 and go and do really amazing stuff. And a lot of startups come after the army, like people, you know, like in the company I work for, there's a lot of the same unit, like that there are alumni of that unit and stuff like that. So it's very, very, so they have, and it's really a professional advantage. So they would learn to code there, or, you know, now it starts even earlier because those elite units are very in demand. So even you can start in high school and stuff like that. So that really affects the community. And also, it also affects like the whole men and women, balance, I'll say. Yeah. First, because women are also in that area, in that space, in the army, and not like in the other, in the more combat units. So in that aspect, they do have the kind of like the same opportunity. But still, it's a very manly society, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's still, you can still, you know, in Israel as well, most founders are men and stuff. But we do have like a lot of great women in tech, also in the technology side, because they do get that experience very in early age, which is really amazing. So
what's a great women in tech resource in Tel Aviv that people should know about, check out?
So there's also a program, it's called She Codes.
She Codes,
yeah. I mean, we don't code, as we said. Yeah. We're in from the business side, but we love to see, you know, all the women programmers. And they do, there's like there women programmers and startup companies go and teach like students or even like older women that want to get into tech, and just do like all women coding practices and stuff like that, classes. Yeah. So
and
that's
actually
a really good organization.
There is a really good program named W.
Yeah. Is it W, like how?
Like D-O-U-B-L-E, U.
Like double.
Yeah, like
double
U. Yeah,
oh, I'm glad I asked.
it's for women entrepreneurs. It's amazing. They have like retreats all over the world.
They have like all these videos if someone wants to check out.
You should come.
Yeah, I love it. It's an amazing experience. I've done it.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to include it in the show notes as well, you guys. So like you guys could explore double U. So it's DOUBLEU.
Like
the letter U.
No, not the letter.
YOU.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm so glad I asked. So double U, YOU, and then and she codes. And you brought up a couple times that you're not coders yourself, you're in business. So what is your background in the tech space, in the startup world?
So why work in a startup company that is in the AI field? I do finance and operation there. But I think that really exposed me to really an R&D environment. I mean, it's me and like two others that are not in the R&D environment. So we know, we understand like the processes, like the whole development cycles and stuff like that, and how to get a product to development and out to the market.
And how did you discover the startup world to begin with?
It's all over in Israel. It's hard not to discover. It's very popular to say, yeah, I work in a startup company, and then you just have to, like, in what area, the side and stuff like that. So it's not about discovery. It's like, but actually I worked before in the Ministry of Finance. I worked for the government. So I did and then I decided I want to make a change.
Right.
And I was like looking what I want to do. And I was very excited like to understand, like, cause I come from finance background,
right.
Like, and I'm really excited to get into the startup community, like from a different position.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
And my experience is marketing, like international marketing. And I've been also the first employee in a startup company on the real estate tech mm-hmm. industry. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, it was really exciting because I got
like
to see
the first employee.
Yeah, first employee.
And then how big did they grow?
So now there are 10 employees,
I think. That's so cool.
Within a year.
That's cool.
Or a year and a half. So it was most like amazing experience to see the company from the very early stage and growing, like bringing the customers in.
Right.
And
well, awesome. Well, I think this has been incredible. And how can people stay connected?
Email, Facebook?
Yeah, that's
is that
fine.
Okay?
Tell us your email, your Facebook, whatever you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, so Facebook, I'm Liron Kalish. It's LeronKalish.
And I'm Adi Dekel, AdiDekel. Probably there's a few, but, you know.
Awesome.
I will be happy to connect.
We'll send you our... our links.
I love it. Thank you so much for making time for the Women
Thank
in Tech
you.
Podcast.
Thank you.
This has been so cool. You guys, I've loved it so much. And since we did talk about LA Tech, I think we're going to do a rebroadcast on the We Are LA Tech show as well. I have one question, though, before you guys go. Do you feel more comfortable now?
Yes, much more. But this was it was a great experience. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you very much. So not expected to finish our trip in LA here, but yeah, happy.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You guys, keep listening. If you want to tweet Women in Tech Show, as I said as well, we will be rebroadcasting this on the We Are LA Tech Show as well. I just think it was fantastic. I will see you guys, hear you guys, talk to you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Women in Tech is an independently funded project funded by you, the community. So the way that you could support us is by going to patreon.com/womenintech and making a small contribution. Every little bit counts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/womenintech. Thank you so much for believing in our vision. Our incredible partner, Hack Reactor, helping people become legitimate engineers, is offering an outstanding scholarship program. If you don't take advantage of this, that's just nuts. Go to hackreactor.com/scholarships and enter Women in Tech. That's hackreactor.com/scholarships and enter the code Women in Tech.